Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, we were talking about sport and politics earlier and some text messages on that front. Our own James McLean, who we spoke to recently on this programme, of course, along with his wife Erin, he and his family, says this listener, have suffered extreme racism and xenophobia for many years for his political and personal views, with little or no support from anywhere. Someone else says, remember when we could watch sport or a movie for enjoyment without a message about racial injustice or some other cause? Don't we have enough forums for that? That's from Brian. And another, why aren't footballers taking a stand about going to Qatar for the World Cup with two question marks? We might look at that one at another time on the programme. Now, these longer spring days, we see the lovely cherry and apple blossom in abundance. Flowers are in bud. People are out everywhere cutting their grass. The telltale signs that summer is on the way. But perhaps for you, the arrival of summer means a runny nose, sneezing uncontrollably and itchy, streaming eyes due to hay fever. So what can we do to alleviate the symptoms? That's what we're going to talk about now with Dr. Marcus Butler, who's a respiratory consultant at St. Vincent's Hospital and also medical director at the Asthma Society of Ireland. So if you have any questions for Dr. Butler, you can text them to us on 51551 or email todaycb@rte.ie. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, good morning, Claire, and all the listeners. Thank you.
Will we start with the basics? Can you tell us what exactly hay fever is?
Sure. So hay fever is the jargon term for doctors is allergic rhinitis. And it kind of tells you there that it's an inflammation disease, a swelling disease of the nasal passages. And it's very, very common in up to 20% of people worldwide. And it's particularly common in younger kids. Up to 40% of kids can get it. And this swelling and inflammation causes all these annoying symptoms that you've just mentioned that can be quite debilitating for many patients. And it's caused by and the nose reacting to very small airborne particles that we call allergens. And these substances produce an allergic reaction. And these reactions, while they happen on the nose to cause hay fever from pollen during the summer, you can have all year round hay fever-like symptoms, which we call perennial rhinitis, due to indoor allergens as well. And these allergens can also upset the lungs, which I see a lot of patients for who have allergic asthma. And it upsets the eyes even as well, that you've talked about, which is allergic conjunctivitis. So these allergens that we're seeing a lot of from here on in for the next few months can be quite problematic for a lot of people.
Okay, and there is no cure, only treatment, is that right?
Correct, yeah. Despite intense efforts worldwide, we're not able to cure this, where you'll never need to do anything about it again. But thankfully, it is actually very manageable for the vast majority of people.
Now, I have some questions coming in as we speak. David is exhausted with hay fever. It's a real drain. Is there a best time of day he'd like to know to take antihistamines to battle the tiredness that he's experiencing?
Yeah, tiredness is unfortunately a very common debilitating symptom of this condition, particularly at the more moderate and severe end of the scale, because it can disturb sleep also significantly when the nose is badly blocked. It's important to know that the pollen, particularly for hay fever, which is a very light in terms of its weight, it's a very light allergen compared to some heavier allergens like indoor house dust mite, which is the most common indoor allergen. And because it's light and it likes to be dry, so it likes to rise as the day warms up a bit in the later morning, and into the afternoon and early evening is when the levels of pollen typically go as high as they're going to go, especially on breezy days where they get dispersed by the wind very, very widely. So it's good to sort of keep away from that time of the day where possible when things are at their worst. And in terms of taking medication, it's important to probably, for someone whose symptoms are that bad, to be on more than just antihistamine medication, and probably should be on intranasal steroid and saline cleansing beforehand to allow the gentle steroid drug to do its job safely. And that can be started, you know, some time before the season kicks off. And it can be, if it's only seasonal symptoms, the nasal steroid medication can be stopped once the pollen season ends later around September, October time.
And are you comfortable with people taking the antihistamine, the over-the-counter ones that you can get, right throughout the season?
No, I'm fine. I mean, these medications have been around for a very long time, and we know a lot about them. I mean, the histamine itself is a substance that's produced from some of the cells that are involved in the inflammation of hay fever, and they can, you know, recapitulate all of the individual symptoms associated with hay fever. So targeting histamine is a sensible thing, and they're so safe that they're over-the-counter in the vast majority of cases, certainly at the lower doses. They're also great for small kids because you can give them in liquid form, you know, to kids as young as 2+. can safely have antihistamine medication when they're having difficulties, rubbing their nose and etc. So
that's a non-drowsy one, is it? The one for children?
Correct. The newer ones like Cetrine, Zyrtec, that are second generation antihistamines, as we term them, and these really do minimise the drowsiness. Although occasionally it's still a side effect that can cause problems for people.
Okay, and that answers Fiona in Mayo's question, who was looking for one that doesn't have any side effects in that regard. I wanted to ask you about allergies in patients who've had COVID. Have you seen that?
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, allergy is such a widespread issue. As I said, just shy of 1 million people in this country have hay fever potentially. So, with COVID, it's a very complex story because the main impact on allergy is thought to be environmental rather than genetic. So the world around us plays a huge role in how allergy patients are affected. And COVID has had a profound impact on the world around us in terms of the environment because we're during lockdown for months on end. We've been retreating to the indoors, and going indoors exposes people to indoor allergens more than they would have been before. The outdoor air is actually often less problematic in recent times, and the air quality outdoors, which upsets a lot of inflammations of the airway, is actually better air quality during COVID, although of course that will worsen as the world sort of wakes up again. And there's also negative impacts on allergy sufferers from not doing as much physical activity during COVID because of all the restrictions, and that interacts badly with a lot of the psychiatric side effects or issues that affect patients with severe allergy. I mean, it's well documented that there's higher rates of mood problems and other problems. We've talked about sleeping problems already in severe asthma and allergy sufferers, like hay fever sufferers at the severe end of the scale. And not being able to exercise is taking away a really important balancing mechanism for correcting our mood and helping us. So it's a double whammy in that respect.
Okay, but you haven't seen patients who have developed allergies having had a COVID infection?
We don't think that that's the case, but at the same time, COVID is a respiratory virus, and viruses can trigger inflammation in the nose and in the airways of asthma, and we certainly can see that. But in fact, the evidence that's emerged as the pandemic has gone on has been quite reassuring in terms of allergic asthma and in severe rhinitis, that because patients are probably wearing masks so much, and we're also patients who have bad allergy are probably much better at following and adhering to public health guidelines, that they've not been showing up. I mean, pediatricians are commenting widely about the missing kids who aren't coming into the emergency departments with allergy-related airways diseases because of a myriad of reasons like this.
Okay, we have another listener in Mayo. Maybe this is a Mayo issue. I've never had hay fever before. I got it this time last year for the first time. Runny nose, eyes watering, the works. I've been told 3 Pyritin a day will help with that. But as this was my first time dealing with this, I didn't know what I was doing. Was that good advice?
Well, The first thing to say is that this condition can come out of the blue in any age. It is certainly much more common, however, to start early in life. So it starts in the majority of cases in childhood or in young adulthood, but certainly in large numbers in older patients. Pyritin is one of the first generation antihistamines. It has sedative qualities, and it's probably not the first choice I would have picked. I would tend to stick to some of that I've mentioned, like cetirizine or phenoxyphenidine, like Telfast, the brand name, or Zyrtec, Cetrine that I've talked about, because of that, these will have less interference with your ability to function day to day.
Okay, nosebleeds. Are nosebleeds at this time of the year linked to allergies like hay fever, says a listener?
Not so much, but the treatment for hay fever, especially the most effective medication treatment, is gentle nasal steroid, and it's prone to a lot of setbacks and problems for patients, especially if they haven't got good education from their healthcare provider, because if you incorrectly spray nasal steroid towards the centre of your nose, the midline, which is where the nasal septum is located, that can cause trouble with nosebleed. I mean, when you're using a nasal spray, it's really important to direct it towards the side of the head while it's tucked into your nostril, but it's spraying onto the sides of your nostril rather than into the centre midline, and that will help reduce nosebleeds, which are the most common troublesome side effect of nasal steroid spray for hay fever.
And another treatment that people use is a saline wash, a nasal wash. How do you rate those? Are they useful?
We think that that's one of the most fundamental treatments. It's a fantastic treatment. It's not a drug, so straight away it's easy to accept it from the patient perspective, but it's highly effective. It reduces the amount of irritants, particulates and pollen, etc., and viral particles that start to get into the nose when one is out and about. And particularly during the pollen season, like now, it's a good idea if you get really bad hay fever symptoms to cleanse your nose when you've finished your out and about part of the day in the evening time, to wash all of those irritants away. And that will help lessen the likelihood of them also falling onto your pillow and where you spend many, many hours subsequently. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to accumulate allergens in your bedroom.
Okay, well, that's available over the counter if people ask for a saline nasal wash. Marcus, we'll have to have you back. Many questions coming in to you. That's respiratory consultant Dr. Marcus Butler.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.